In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. We are presented this morning with the story of the Last Judgment, a parable of sorts, but also a prophecy. It's a poetic revelation of what we experience when we are carried into the unfiltered presence of the Almighty, when we awaken suddenly, immersed in the light of our Creator on the day of the Lord, on the day of the kingdom of heaven. What is this experience? What is this judgment being revealed in this parable, in this prophecy? And what are the criteria for separating the sheep from the goats? We sang in the hymn of the day just now, the Kentuckian, "When you, O Lord, come in glory," that we sang, "the books shall be opened, and the hidden things disclosed." The books shall be opened, the hidden things disclosed or revealed. Now, an important piece to remember is this judgment is not God deciding who gets into heaven and who gets sent, quote unquote, to hell. The opening of the books does not reveal what God thinks of you, because we already know what God thinks of you. What God thinks of you is fully realized in the life and person of Jesus Christ, a God who loves you to the point of taking on your nature and accepting death on the cross so that you might live, so that you might have life more abundantly, a God who sympathizes with your weaknesses, a God who invites you to no longer think of yourself as servant, but as friend. Now, I happen to know what God thinks of each one of you specifically. God is madly in love with you, smitten, enthralled, infatuated, choose your word, a fondness so deep you can't even fathom it. Did not God speak through the prophet Jeremiah saying, "I have loved you with an everlasting love"? No, the opening of the books is not revealing what God has decided to do with you. The opening of the books is not about God. It's about you. The opening of the books reveals what's inside of you, who you are. Judgment is the revelation of my own heart. It is the opening of my whole being to the divine light to see what is there. The opening of the books reveals whether I have nurtured God's kind of love inside me. Is that everlasting sort of love that Jeremiah spoke of, is that everlasting sort of love within me? Is that within me? And not just in the self-image I've curated so carefully. What will the divine light reveal from the deep parts of myself that I can't see or refuse to see? And so Lent is given as the season to shine divine light into my shadow areas, the areas I find tough to look at. And not to be dour or pessimistic, but for healing, to give me more opportunities to become the vessel of divine love that I was created to be. A judgment, as we hear in today's gospel, is the revelation of whether I have chosen to be a vessel of divine love, of whether I am a home in whom God dwells and in whom God can be recognized. Now, the specifics in the lesson are clear, quite clear. The indication of whether I am a vessel of the love of God is shown in how I treat my neighbor, and especially those that I'm tempted to consider least, whatever that means to me. Those who are hungry or thirsty, do I provide for them? Do I give clothing or blankets to the cold and to the underdressed? Do I welcome strangers or just the strange, those different from myself? Do I visit the sick and the imprisoned? And it's crucial to remember, we're not just talking about physical ailments here. It also applies to spiritual and emotional needs. How do I treat people who hunger for kindness, who are hungry for affirmation, or for my patience, or for my forgiveness? How do I treat people who are thirsty for hope, or imprisoned with loneliness, or even awkwardness, or anxiety, or depression, imprisoned with anger, or with grief? How willing am I to hold space for that person? You know, it takes a certain kind of love to sit with someone else who is imprisoned with anger. It does. It does. That takes a certain kind of love, or grief, and not to try to fix it, but just to be with them in love. Or do I welcome into my heart a person whose spirituality seems strange to me? It doesn't mean I have to agree with them, but can I love them like I would love my dearest sibling, with a truly open heart and with some gentle curiosity about who they are and what they need in life? This is what's being revealed at the final judgment. What is in my heart, and how do I share it? How much love am I brave enough to show? Now, here's where it gets a little tricky. If you're trying to figure out if you're among the sheep or the goats, I'll save you the effort and let you know you can stop wondering. I have your answer for you. You're both. You're both. You are part sheep and part goat. Remember, Jesus said, if you served one of the least, you served me, and that makes you a sheep, which I assume applies to all of you many times over. You've shown love plenty of times. And Jesus also said, if you neglected to show love even once to one person in your orbit, you've neglected Christ, which means you're a goat. In spite of my optimistic outlook on life, I'm assuming that also applies to everyone here, except perhaps our very youngest. We've all shown love, and we've all neglected to show love. We're all a blend of sheep and goat. And therefore, this parable, this prophecy, is really about the pulls of the inner life. This is a parable of what's going on inside me, the battle of sheep and goat within each human soul. The force of self that says, you know, fear and retreat, versus the force of love that says open and shine. Now, if we're all both showers of love and neglectors of love, how does this parable help us? Well, for our purposes today, consider this. It prompts me to gently look into my shadow side and see where I'm lacking. When Jesus mentions those who are condemned, which we now know is a part of each of us, what do those inner voices say in the parable? They say, when did we see you hungry or lonely or neglected? They don't even realize how much love they've withheld because they've never stopped to look. They've never stopped to consider how much love they're withholding. And so this parable invites me to truly look and to truly see the ways and the volume with which I have withheld love from anyone in the world, anyone in my orbit, anyone that God has brought across my path. It invites me to truly see if I have withheld love from that person. And if I'm really honest, I'll realize it's the person or the people that I would most likely consider least, that I'm most likely to withhold love from. And then who might that be for you? Who might that be for you? The final judgment parable, this opening of the books, has nothing to do with what God thinks of you. God is crazy in love with you. This is about you seeing who you are. And it's about God shining divine light into your shadow areas to give you the healing and wisdom to become the vessel of divine love that you are capable of and were created to be. Amen.